Rule 1. Play your own game. If you're getting whipped playing by the existing rules, get used to losing or change the game. Those are your choices. If you can't win by standing and fighting, then run and hide. If you can't win by being big, be small. If you can't win by being small, be big. The first rule of winning is that there is no one single way to win. The ancient Greek poets described the monstrous Hydra with more heads than the vase painters could paint. Worse for attackers, for every head cut off, the Hydra grew back two more. The Hydra was eventually defeated by Hercules with the help of his nephew, who stopped the new heads growing by holding a torch to the headless tendons of the neck. It then became simpler to work his way through each of the mortal heads, until, with a mighty swing, he decapitated the final immortal head. This mythical encounter illustrates an ongoing struggle between different approaches to the art of winning. The Hydra seeks to replace heads quicker than they can be destroyed. It attempts to defend its centre at the cost of temporary damage, while defeating its enemy by moving rapidly and powerfully. Instead of one giant head, it has nine. Instead of heavy defences, the Hydra substitutes speed. Any attacker would be initially confused because the behaviour is so unexpected and works against the strength of the attack. Any seeming success increases the strength of the enemy. It's a strategic adaptation that weakens the side expending the most effort. Physical resources are wasted with every attack, while mental reserves are depleted with every renewal. An example of this Hydra problem faced the US strategy, or military doctrine, known as shock and awe. It was formally introduced to the lexicon in 1996 by the National Defense University. Its authors, Harlan Ullman and James Wade, were generous in their praise for both the US military and their ability to achieve rapid dominance. It is, of course, clear that US military forces are currently the most capable in the world, and are likely to remain so for a long time to come. We seek to determine whether and how shock and awe can become sufficiently intimidating and compelling factors to force or convince an adversary to accept our will. Total mastery achieved at extraordinary speed and across tactical, strategic, and political levels will destroy the will to resist. Shock and awe became more widely known by the public during the 2003 invasion of Iraq, when the term was used by US officials to describe their overarching strategy. The idea was that dropping enough precision bombs would destroy the chain of command and demoralize Iraqi forces, who would then surrender. In turn, ground forces would be warmly welcomed by Iraqi citizens who would form a stable, USA-loving democracy. On Friday, 21st of March 2003, the main attack began. More than 1,700 bombing missions were carried out, with over 500 using cruise missiles. 2 weeks later, ground forces seized Baghdad. 3 weeks later, the US delivered victory. And on 1st of May, President George W. Bush landed a jet on an aircraft carrier and, under a giant banner, declared, "Mission accomplished." At first, to some, it seemed shock and awe had worked. On 27th April, the Washington Post published an interview with Iraqi soldiers who said they stopped resisting because it wasn't a war, it was suicide. Yet, in truth, resistance had not stopped. It had simply adapted to the impossibility of winning the war by US rules. Play your winning game is an important adaptability principle. Adapting to win is more than simply coping. You may choose to minimise losses or save face, but only as part of a winning adaptation. Surviving becomes one of several moves towards a winning position, rather than the game itself.